Each and every one of you here to our happy Resurrection Day. I like to call it Resurrection Day, but we're glad you could come out and be with us. Had a big crowd at the early church this morning. Glad that everybody made it out. Hope you'll enjoy today. You'll enjoy some fellowship. Some of you may have gone to the men's breakfast, and I think they had a nice big feed there for everybody, and I think it was a blessing. So we're glad you could come out, but many blessings to our regular folks, all of our visitors and guests. We're glad you come out. Just make yourself at home. And come anytime. Just come anytime. We're always glad to have you. Several announcements and concerns for you. Brenda Baysinger fell yesterday. She broke her hip. And she may be having, it appears, if all goes as scheduled, she will be having a partial hip replacement, this afternoon. If all goes well, there's no emergencies or anything. So be praying for Brenda and family that she'll have a good recovery and all that. Went and visited with her last evening. She's doing okay, but she's in a lot of pain, obviously not, but she definitely could use your prayers. Also, don't forget, the altar flyers are given on Easter Sunday to the glory of God and loving honor of our church family and pastors from Eddie and Lou Ann Crest, sons Austin, Jordan, and Logan. Thank y'all. Many blessings. They're beautiful, beautiful flowers. On the flower note, I was told, and I think I'm saying it because I am a horticultural idiot, I think these are geraniums, if I'm told correctly. And I think that's what they are. I was informed that I know some had wanted white, but supposedly white geraniums are not taking this year, not growing for some reason. Now, I can't tell you why. You have to talk to somebody else about that. But supposedly they're not growing. So all of them are pink, but they look very nice. And so if you got one, take a pink one home with you later on. So many blessings to all of you for that. Also, Miss Riley Burton is going to turn 100 here this coming week. And I hope everybody's been sending her cards and all that. Blessed thing. You turn 100, you ought to have some cards sent to you. And they're also going to have a birthday celebration for her this Tuesday, the 23rd, up at the Lutheran home from 4 to 6. And I know she'd love for you to come if you can. And would appreciate it. So if you get a chance, go up and celebrate with Miss Riley if you can. Also, the O-Wings group. They are going to have their annual spring event. That's Saturday, May the 4th. They've got, a Kentucky Derby type of motif going on there, if you will. 5 o'clock in the fellowship hall. And they invite all ladies to come out and join them. And I think you'll have a good time of fellowship and fun and food and all that. And they would love to have you. Also, tomorrow there will be no Monday Bible study tomorrow. We'll start back up the 29th of April. But I will not be having my regular 10:30, 7 p.m. Bible study, prayer, and communion tomorrow. Will not be happening tomorrow. Also, Vicar Jordan will be beginning his Bible study up after the Lenten season here into Easter, May the 1st. So 6:30 over in the fellowship hall. I know he looks forward to it. We're trying to tie this in different ways. He's giving you context and history, and I'm trying to give you a little bit more practical stuff. But if you don't understand the context and the history, you're not as able to understand the practical stuff. So please come out. Trying to do all we can to teach and do what God has called us to do. Also, Thursday, the 25th of this month, the Oregon Community Senior Citizens are going on a trip to the Capitol. They got everything laid out. The bus is leaving at 7:30, so you can read all about that, and I hope you have fun, and God will bless you and all that. Do have a new piano down at the old church. Joan Julie Darnell donated that. That was Miss Riley Burton's old piano at one time, so we appreciate that. Is there anything that maybe I missed? And I know these guys got something here, but anything I missed beyond that? I'll tell you what, the youth have a little something for you real fast.
In Uganda must bring their own supplies to the hospital to give birth. Because there are so many living poverty, many women are turned away from the hospitals. For not having the right supplies, about 20 women in Uganda die daily because of this. That is 40 times the rate of the USA. In their lifetime, 1 in 49 women will die because of this.
The Luther League has decided to partner with a ministry called Mercy for Mamas. This ministry gives a mama kit to women who cannot afford the necessary supplies to give birth safely. The mama kit has everything a woman needs, from gloves, to a cord clamp.
Each kit cost only $7. You are able to buy one in honor or in memory of a special mom in your life. We will pass out forms for you to fill out, and you may put them in the offering bowl.
There is also cloth diapers, diaper options that you can donate for only $5.50.
Please help us save a life this Mother's Day.
Thank you for your help and support.
I hope you will help them. This is one way that they are trying to fulfill our mission centeredness within our denomination. And we do a lot of local missions within this local area and throughout the United States. But this is one way that we can help in another country, because missions begins here and mainly here, but it goes out and abroad to all other places. And Uganda is in a bad shape. And again, many ladies and their children die just because they don't have the proper stuff. If you don't have what you need when you go to the hospital, you're not getting it. That's just the way it works there, unfortunately. So please help them out if you would. We appreciate the kids for doing that. I think Zeke has a prelude for it. He did a good job this morning, and I know he'll continue that. Thank you, Zeke. You've done a good job. We need to encourage these young folks. Just to brag on Zeke a little bit. He plays the piano. He's a really good scout. He does really well in school, takes it very seriously. Is in the Luther League here, does a lot of good stuff, and we should really be proud of a young man like that. So, thank you, Zeke. You did a good job, buddy. Appreciate it. We need to spotlight our children from time to time. Let's all stand as we're able for our confession and forgiveness, please. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Appreciate you. Please be seated if you would. And let's have the children come forward for the children's message.
Good morning. Good morning. Morning, everybody. You guys doing good? Good. Good morning. How y'all doing? Good, I'm glad. So today is a pretty special day, huh? Yeah, what is it? Yeah, it's the day that Jesus raises from the dead, and we call it Easter, right? And we call it Resurrection Sunday because we're celebrating Jesus rising from the dead, right? Well, guess what? There's some pretty cool stuff about Jesus raising from the dead that affects everything else. Can you guess what it is? Can you guess any of the things that happened because Jesus raised from the dead? Yeah, he paid for our sins. And our sins are what separated us from God. So what does that mean if our sins are forgiven now? We can be with God now, exactly. And this is the day that we celebrate Jesus raising from the dead. And now we can be with God forever. So we can be with God now, and we can be with God forever when we go and live with him in heaven. And then later after that, he's going to bring heaven down to earth, and we're going to be with him forever. So right now, we're with God, and forever we're with God. And so I have a little thing to make you think about. I want you to think about this, okay? Does anybody have any relatives that you go and see? Does anybody have any relatives you go visit? Anybody? Grandma, grandpa, aunts and uncles, friends, anybody like that? Yeah? Okay, do you like to go over and visit? Is it fun? Yeah? And then sometimes you got to leave, right? Go back home or go back to school, or you have to stop playing at your friend's house or your grandma's house. But you feel really good, right, when you go, and it's really exciting. Aren't you excited to go visit? But then you got to leave, and you're just kind of a little bummed out, right? Well, that's what it's going to be like with heaven, except for we never, ever have to leave. Isn't that cool? So it's like all the excitement of being able to go to grandma's house or to our friend's house, but then we never have to leave. We're always with God doing exactly what we want to do and being with him. All of the things that he wants us to do, we're going to realize are the best things for us, and we're going to be doing those forever and ever, never have to leave. Isn't that good news? Yeah, and that's what Easter means. That's what Resurrection Sunday means, is that Jesus paid everything. Now we can be with him forever and ever, and someday when we get to heaven and when God brings heaven to earth, we never, ever, ever have to leave, and we never have to go away, never have to go home, clean our room, or anything like that. Isn't that cool? Cool. All right, well, let's pray, and then you can get a sucker and then go to children's church, okay? All right. Dear Lord, thank you for loving us so, so much that you paid for our sins and you rose from the dead and you're alive so that we can be alive with you forever. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, y'all get a sucker. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Set us free to be people of God.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have overcome death through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and have opened to us the gate of everlasting life. We humbly beseech you that as you put into our minds good desires, so by your continual help, we may bring them to good effect. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you. not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
Let's pass the peace to several folks before we're seated. Peace be with you, Helen. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace, you doing all right? Peace be with you. Peace be. Peace be with y'all. Many bless. Peace be with you. Believe, peace be with you, my friend. Also with you, my friend. Peace be with you. That's what I've been hearing. Peace be with you. Also with you, my friend. All right. Peace be with you, my friend. Peace be with you, my brother. Peace be with you. Peace be with y'all. Many blessings. Peace be with y'all. Peace be with you, my friend. Peace of the Lord be with you, my friend. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, ladies. Peace be with you. Peace be with y'all. Peace be with you, my friend. Many blessings. Many blessings. Peace be with you, young lady. Peace be with you, too, little one. Peace be with you, my friend. Peace be with you, Ryan. Jerry, peace be with you, my friend. Turn straight. I done peace out. Peace out. Be with you, friend. Peace be with you. Be with y'all. You too. I like that hat. All right.
From the 65th chapter of Isaiah. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Here ends this reading. Let's now read responsively from Psalm 16. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my good above all other.
All my delight is upon the godly that are in the land, upon those who are noble among the people.
But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied.
Their libations of blood I will not offer, nor take the names of their gods upon my lips.
O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot.
My boundaries include Indeed, I have goodly inheritance.
I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night.
I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not fall.
My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope. You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Our second reading comes from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Here ends this reading.
Glory to you.
Now the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated if you would. We're so glad you could come and be with us today on this holy day, this Resurrection Sunday. I'd like to take just a moment, if you would, to have just a short word of prayer, if you would allow. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for your resurrection. Thank you for regeneration, new birth in you. And we do pray today you'd open our hearts and minds to you. We pray that you would give me words to say. We pray that your spirit might move upon each and every one here so that your word might penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, probably the question we need to ask is, why is this day such an important thing? What does it really mean to us here in the 21st century? What does it mean to us? Why is it important? Well, Paul points this out in our 1 Corinthians text. And he says, if in Christ we have hope in this day only, in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. He's saying if there is no resurrection, if there is no eternal life, then we're just wasting our time. There's nothing to this. As a matter of fact, I think it's the King James that says we are a sad group. That we are just a miserable bunch, I believe is the word that the King James actually uses and says we are miserable. But again, why is this day so important? And I think in the middle of this text, we see Jesus, the reason he came. And here's the thing. If it weren't for this day, if it were not for resurrection, there is no need for a church. There is no need for any hope. There is no hope for you better eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we're all going to die. You better enjoy the day because there's no hope beyond this day. That's it. There's nothing beyond it. And here Luke points out what Jesus says to those who have come that very early on a Sunday morning. And he says this, why do you seek, or these are those in the dazzling apparel, the two men. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. You see, folks, he's alive. He is alive. And this should brighten our day, it should brighten our life, and it should be the driving force behind us. The fact that Jesus is alive. Why seek the living among the dead? You're not going to find anything happening out in here in this graveyard. There have been some activities happening lately, though, unfortunately, with a few folks. But it's not people putting flyers out. That's about the only activity you're going to find. You don't look to the dead for anything. You only look to the living, and Jesus is alive. How do we know this? First of all, Christianity is the only religion that I know of. Maybe I don't know them all, but it's the only religion that I know of, and I've studied quite a few, that their God himself came and died, became a human being just like us, lived like us, did everything that we do, died and took our sin upon himself. And then what does he do? He's put in the grave. And then what happens? You don't put anybody dead who's not dead in a grave. He was dead, fully, totally, completely dead. And then what happens? As the creed says and scripture points out, he went to the what? The place of the dead. We call it hell. The place of the dead. It is called hell. And he took that punishment upon himself. Why? So that you and I can live. He lives so that you and I can live. First of all, there is nobody in that tomb. And we're the only religion that I know of that God is alive, died and is now alive. What a wonderful thought to think of. I don't know what's happening with Buddha. I don't know what's happening with Muhammad. He's not the God, but he's the prophet. I don't know what's happening with a lot of those folks. But I do know that Jesus Christ is alive. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He was seen by many after his death. On multiple occasions after his death, after this very day of the resurrection, he is seen by many folks on multiple occasions. Excuse me. And at one point, he is seen by over 500 people all at one time. Now, the last time I checked, I don't think that 500 people can be under the same delusion or have the same illusion or nightmare or whatever you want to call it. Not 500 people at once. There's a lot of people who are delusioned in this world, but I don't think all at once, seeing that it was not an illusion. It was the living Christ standing before him. He is alive, and he is ascended, sitting at the right hand of the Father. How else do we know that he is alive? Because he lives in each one of us. He is alive today in everyone who has been here and everyone who is in Christ. From baptism on, you have been in Christ and he has been alive within you, stirring you, moving you, giving you everything that you have. Your very breath and life comes from him. You have nothing without Jesus Christ. He is alive within you. And I pray that he will become even more alive as we go forward, that Christ will touch you through his Spirit. He is alive, alive and well. The stories of his passing have been well misrepresented. He is alive, and thank God that he is. How else is he alive? He is alive through everything that we do. Just the fact that there is a church proves that he's alive, because the church, unfortunately, and I'm talking the church, the Christian church, is so dysfunctional that it would not even survive over 2,000 years if it weren't for Jesus Christ. Because the church has done everything it can to destroy itself. Without him, there would be no church. How else do we know that this man is alive named Jesus Christ? There's another reason. All the disciples, if you will notice and you will remember, what did they do? As we look back on this past Holy Week, they all ran away or they denied him. They were in hiding. But guess what happens on the day of Pentecost, which will be coming? But guess what happens on that day? They began to come out and preach. These same people who were hiding, these same people who were scared to death that they were going to die, they come out of their hiding through the power of the Holy Spirit. But what changed besides the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them? They saw something, and they saw the risen Lord. They saw the Christ. Nobody would die like they did for a lie, I don't think. They saw something. They saw the risen Christ, the risen Lord. He is alive within each and every one of us. And therefore, now that we are in Christ from baptism on, we need to not fear death. I was listening to a gentleman the other day on the radio, and he talks about scripture and things from time to time. And he said something that really struck me. He says Christians are getting ready to celebrate Easter, getting ready to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. And they believe that because Jesus died and rose again, that they too will live forever and that there's nothing to be afraid of in death. But he said, yet every Christian that I know of who claims this is scared to death to die. That's the truth. Why? Because our faith is not tied in Christ. It's tied in something else. But this fact that he lives. No, I'm not looking forward to the pain of death or any of that. But I'll tell you what, the older I get, the longer I live in this life, the more I see the dysfunction of this life and what's going on, the more I almost long for that day when I get to go be with Jesus Christ. It almost is looking very pleasant to me in many ways. I'm not suicidal. I'm not any of those things. So if something happens to me, go find the real killer somewhere if you do. But he's alive, and he's enlivened me. He's enlivened you. How do we know he's alive? Through the works that we do. Now that salvation has been settled, there was nothing that I could do to gain my salvation. Now that Jesus Christ has won it, and you cannot disconnect the cross, you cannot disconnect the burial, or the entrance into hell from the resurrection. You've got to have it all tied together. It all goes together. You need it all for salvation. He died upon a cross, shed his blood. He was buried, because you don't bury anybody who's not dead. He enters into hell because he took that part of the punishment for us also. So therefore, now we don't have to fear death, hell, or the grave at any point. And guess what? In the last day, he is coming back. I don't know when that is, but he is coming back, and he will resurrect us, and we will have eternal life. That's a future thing. Could be 5 minutes from now. I don't know, but it is in the future nonetheless. But how else do we know that he is alive? He's alive right now, and he's alive in every one of us. As I say, from your baptism on, he entered into you. You are part of him. You have become part of the body of Christ, and everything that you do should enliven this world. It is Christians who are to show the liveliness or the aliveness of Christ to this world. I read constantly, almost on a daily basis, of the downfall of Western Christianity and society. I read profusely. If you don't believe me, go look in the office. I got books scattered everywhere. They're all over the place. They're stacked in piles. It's a mess, but it's my mess. But I read profusely. And I also read current events. I like to keep up. And almost to the day, I see people talking about the decline of Christianity in the United States especially. Oh, he's very well alive over in Asia. He's very well alive down in Africa. He's very well alive and doing very well down in South America and Central America. But he's not doing very well in the United States and Western Europe. You want to know why? Because we do not believe that he's alive. We take it for granted. We have lost that. He's alive, and he should enliven each and every one of us. One of the reasons there's a downfall of Christianity and people not attending church and doing other things is this. A lot of entertainment theology is out there. People want to be entertained. They want those things. But there's another thing. We do not live like he's alive. If we lived like he was alive and we truly took it to ourselves, we would be different than we are as Christians. And I'm talking the entire Christian church. Because you can't act one way in the house of God here, as we call it, and then go down to the gas station or the grocery store or where else and act like the devil. Because if he is truly alive, then he is enlivened in you. We need to take that forward. We need to take it forward. You see, our lives are living example of his being alive. Do you know why society and the secular world hates Christians and hates God? As a matter of fact, I was just told, I had read that there were some attacks on churches in Sri Lanka. I understand that the last reports that I got that there were over 200 dead and at least 400 who were injured. And this is at certain hotels, but at churches also. Do you know why the church hates, why people hate the church and hate Christians? I'll tell you exactly why. Because it reminds them that they are dead and that he is alive and that he is alive in us. And it lets them know that because they are not in him and that they do not know Christ, that they are dead already. Why would you seek the living among the dead? I'm not going to go to a political rally. I'm not going to go to a ball game. I'm not going to go to some type of a function. I'm not against anything. I'm not against going, but I'm not going to an American Legion meeting to find out about the liveness of Christ. Now, I'm going to show it while I'm there, but that's not because a lot of these things are dead. And they're dead to Christ. They're dead already. I don't go to the dead to look for the living because he's alive, and he's alive within us. I want to leave you with this. If he truly is alive, and we believe that, and he has enlivened each and every one of us, and we are part of this living God. You become part of his mystical body at baptism. If he has truly done that for each and every one of us, then we, secure in the knowledge of our salvation, should go forward and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to this hurting and dying world. And in doing so, that means that we're going to love the people who maybe are not even Christians. Maybe we're going to show Christ to each and every one. Maybe we're going to show it to the people of Sri Lanka and others through maybe giving, maybe praying for them, whatever. Maybe to the people of Uganda by what the youth talked about. Maybe to somebody here in this community through what we do at the food pantry and the clothing closet. You see, this is a living faith because he's a living God. If you want a dead faith, then go find another faith because this is a living one. He lives and he lives within us, and he should enliven us. He should stir us each and every day. Every day we are called to this. We are called to what? Deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. We are to die every day and then rise up again. We die and then we're enlivened again each and every day, brand new again. Sometimes it takes multiple times a day, but we are to live with Him, and He should enliven us. And I pray today that God would enliven you, that He would touch you this day and from here forward. And that He would remind you each and every day that Jesus died for you, gave His life for you, and that you are a living, breathing child of the living God. And I pray He will touch you today. Amen.
Now let us confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and life of the world to come. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord. Holy Father, almighty and ever-living God, but chiefly we are bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of our Lord, for he is the true Passover Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his death has destroyed death, and by his rising has brought us to eternal life. So with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join. Run in again. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit, that by this Holy Communion we may know the unity we share with all your people. In the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now let us pray to where our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Please be seated if you would. We do invite all baptized Christians to join us in this Holy Communion today, and we do have a gluten-free option. If you need that, just let us know, please. Body of Christ. 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 Blood of Christ. Blood of Christ. Christ. Blood of Christ. Now may the Lord's face shine upon you. God's grace be with you. And may the truth of life and resurrection enliven you each and every day of your life. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.